Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1471 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is essential to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, you must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. This week on our Worldview Wednesdays episode, we will continue with our study based on a course I recently completed taught by Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our study is titled, Sons and Daughters of God, The Believer's Identity, Calling, and Destiny. Throughout this multi-week course, we will demonstrate that in the Old Testament, sons of God and holy ones refer to supernatural beings, whose Father is God and who work with God to carry out His will, and that this divine family was present before humanity. By fully engaging the biblical texts such as Psalm 82, Psalm 89, and Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 8 through 9, our study will show that this divine family functions as a template for God's human family. God desires of human, as His imagers, to participate in His counsel. This study addresses issues such as polytheism, the nature of little g gods, and the uniqueness of Yahweh. Within the study, we will apply insights to the New Testament text and show how the metaphor for being in God's family informs us of our sense of identity and mission as believers. So today's topic will be, God declares, there is none like me. Segment 16, None Besides Me, Part 1. I think that we've established just by our previous week's studies of Elohim that having more than one Elohim is not polytheism. We still need to entertain one other question. What about the verses that say none besides the Lord, or where God Himself says, there is none like me, there is none besides me there is no other, or something of that nature? We want to look at that these are not statements of denial, but of incomparability. These phrases are typically taken as denial statements by many Bible teachers. In other words, statements that deny the existence of other Elohim. Now we've seen that this is wrongheaded, because if you strip out the realities of these other entities, then God is ruling over nothing. Or in other words, He is comparatively greater than nothing. Again, it's entirely foreign to the biblical writer's mindset. A biblical writer is trying to make the point that these other entities do exist, and they are inherently inferior to the God of Israel. In fact, He judges them. They are not contrived or made-up cartoon characters. What we have here in these statements about there being none besides me is not a statement that denies the existence of other Elohim. They are statements of incomparability of Yahweh and His uniqueness. And we'll look at Deuteronomy as an example. I'm going to take us through a little bit of an exercise in the theology of Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy establishes this point that it is about incomparability, not denying existence. There are passages in Deuteronomy that have these so-called denial statements that also, in the same passage, affirm other Elohim. You can't have the two things without contradiction. What I am saying is there is no contradiction because it is about being incomparable, not that one entity exists and the others don't. And we see in this passage is that God does fight someone. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. And we read this, Has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for Himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord is God, and there is none besides Him. Notice what happens here in this text. Moses is rehearsing for the people what their history has been, and he is pointing out the uniqueness that here you have a God to do all things for you. And verse 35 continues, To you it was shown that you might know the Lord is God, there is none besides Him. Or you might think, oh yeah, well, God did that. And he really didn't beat any enemies because these other enemies don't exist or there's no other besides him. God really wasn't fighting anyone. That's a conclusion you have to draw, and this is typically how we are taught about these things, that this is a statement that other gods don't even exist. Or in other words, they in fact don't exist. That sets up a problem, and you have a real contradiction to deal with if you want to take this trajectory, as common as it is. We want to continue on and look at the host of heaven allotted by Yahweh, and Israel was his inheritance. Let's go back. We're in Deuteronomy 4. We're going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to take you through a series of thoughts to show you whoever wrote Deuteronomy, let's say that it was Moses, he wasn't affirming one thing and then denying it a few verses later. We don't have a contradiction here. So back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, we read this. Beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them. Things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the people under the whole heaven. Two things to spot here. We have a reference to the sun and the moon and the stars, the host of heaven. And then the idea that God has allotted these to other nations, to the peoples under the whole heaven, not to Israel. Because Israel was warned against worshiping them, but to the other people. Verse 20 takes the other side of the coin. But the Lord has taken you, Israelites, and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance as you are this day. So again, we have two sides here. We have the host of heaven that are allotted to the other nations, whatever that means. And then we have Israel who was taken out of Egypt to be Yahweh's own people, his own inheritance. Israel is forbidden to worship other gods, which Yahweh allotted. So we're coming to a conclusion that Israel is forbidden to worship other gods, which Yahweh allotted. If we move on through Deuteronomy and read Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 3, we get a little bit more information about this. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 3 has this reading that Israel has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, or the sun, the moon, or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have forbidden. You know, the writer is saying, don't do this. Don't go and serve these other guys. You know, like Israel did. Don't worship them. Don't worship the sun and the moon and the host of heaven. Now you say, well here, this could just be a reference to idols. Well, to refute this, we need to keep tracking through Deuteronomy. Let's move on to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 25 and 26, which picks up this thought. In verse 25, the context is that if Israel gets exiled, it says, because you abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of your fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods and worshipped him, gods whom they had not known, and whom he had not allotted them. Now this is the same language of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. The same type of context as well. Taking Israel out of Egypt again, the problem is going and serving other gods and worshipping them. God that the Lord Yahweh has not allotted to his own people, to Israel, because he was their God. This allotment idea referred back to gods, the host of heavens, the other nations. If we keep going, we hit Deuteronomy chapter 32, and this gives us the key to the understanding of this whole allotment language and what it's about. We'll take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 and 9 next, and bring all this together into how these so-called denial statements actually work. So this is segment 17, None Besides Me, part 2. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 and 9 is a key passage concerning all of these things that we're talking about right now. We're trying to track through Deuteronomy to understand what is really being talked about when the sun, moon, and stars and the host of heavens are allotted to the other nations and Israel is kept for Yahweh's own people. This is going to produce here, as we consider Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 8 and 9, a theology where the other gods are real and they are assigned to the nations as a punishment by the true God, the Yahweh of Israel. So let's consider other gods sent by Yahweh. It's actually going to be an affirmation that these other gods are real. They were sent. They obeyed the command of God initially to administer to other nations, again, as a punishment to those nations. And then things went poorly. The Israelites had to be prevented, or at least warned against, worshiping them instead of Yahweh. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 8 and 9 says this, "When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the people according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people Jacob, his allotted heritage." So we see a humanity allotted to the sons of God. We're reading the passage here from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and that's very important because of what it describes. At the division of the nations, which we know was the Tower of Babel, God punishes humanity for disobedience by splitting them up and assigning them, or allotting them, to other sons of God, other divine beings, which are considered sons of God. Here's the language again from Psalm 82, from Psalm 89, and from Job 1 and 2, which we looked at in previous weeks. And this is the same language here. "So they are assigned to the other nations, and the other nations to them." And this goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, when the Israelites are warned against worshiping these other beings, because these other beings were allotted to the other nations. This verse is crucial for understanding this, because it's really the Old Testament explanation for why the other nations had their own pantheons. So what happened? Dr. Heiser spends a lot of time on this in his book Unseen Realm, where he talks about this and about two other particular verses. And if you want to dig deeper, you can read more about this in his book Unseen Realm. For our purposes here, we are trying to establish that Deuteronomy affirms the existence of other gods, and we're going to take a back seat and ask the obvious question. Well then, why does it say, "There is none besides me"? What does it mean? Because we don't have a contradiction here. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, a few verses later, we read this. "They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to God or Elohim there in the plural, whom they had not known, new gods that came lately, whom your father did not dread." So the Israelites fall victim to idolatry. The beings that they are worshiping are described as Elohim. Now this particular verse is crucial because Paul actually quotes this verse in the New Testament. So where is Paul's reference to Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 17? We can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 21 and 22. Paul is discussing sacrificing to idols and eating meat sacrificed to idols. Paul warns the believers in Corinth in these two verses to avoid all of this, to avoid eating meat. Why? Because you have to be careful, because if you partake of it, you may be entering into fellowship with demons. Paul believed that the demons were real. He is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 17 and assigning reality to the Shadim, which can be translated demons, to the other Elohim from the other nations that the Israelites fell into idolatry with. So let's put all this together. We have a person under inspiration, the Apostle Paul, quoting the passage from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and affirming that the Elohim were real. They were real beings. Paul refers to them as demons. These beings were allotted to the other nations. These Elohim assigned to other nations and are called the host of heaven, the sun, moon, in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy, all through the whole book, chapter 4 all the way through chapter 32, assumes the existence, the reality of these other gods. But it's in the same chapter, Deuteronomy 4, where all of this starts, where the thread starts, where we have the phrase that there is none besides me. What we see here is that Yahweh's incomparability negates contradiction. If such statements like this were to telegraph the idea that the entities don't really exist, then either Deuteronomy 32 is wrong, or Paul is incorrect, or both. We don't have that problem, though. If we just say, look, statements like, "There is none besides me," just means that Yahweh is incomparable. The other Elohims exist, they are inferior. They are not like Yahweh. He is species unique. There is no problem theologically here. If we take the verse, and not just this verse, but the whole statement found in these other verses and similar statements found in many places in the Old Testament, if we just take them as statements of incomparability, we don't have a theological contradiction. And that will finish our study for this week's Worldview Wednesday. Next week, we will continue our study of God's proclamation, "None besides me." We will also consider what is meant by Jesus being the only begotten Son. But that'll be next Wednesday. Tomorrow we will enjoy a 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and then come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek. Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,470 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.